Don't open your Bible just yet. I want to make some opening comments before we read my text. We're gathered here tonight to worship, to praise God. We're gathered here to hear a message from His Word, but primarily we have met together to observe the Lord's table, which He commanded us to do. He said, this do in remembrance of me. He commanded us to observe the table of the Lord. And this was faithfully observed by the apostles and early believers. In fact, Paul wrote to the early church in Corinthians, and he said, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it, and He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till He come. I can only find, in studying the early church and the epistles, I can only find the early church observing two ordinances. That is baptism. Our Lord commanded the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize those who believe. He said, go make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when we follow our Lord in baptism, we're showing the same thing that we show observing the Lord's table, His death, burial, and resurrection. And then the Lord's table, He said, He commanded us to keep this ordinance. That's the only two ordinances, that's the only two ordinances I can find anywhere in the New Testament that the early church observed. The many religious holidays and holy days and special occasions that are going on today, which churches observe, I cannot find them in the New Testament. I cannot find Christmas in the New Testament anywhere. I cannot find them celebrating a holiday and calling it Christmas and observing some sort of celebration in memory of our Lord's birth. I can't find it. Easter. The word Easter occurs only one time in the Scriptures. One time. And it's not talking about what we talk about today when you use that word. The word Easter is the Passover. That's what it, one time it's used. So that, there's no commandment to observe. Good Friday, the early church knew nothing about that. Lent, the early church knew nothing about that. Sunday Mass, sunrise ceremonies. The women went to the tomb early that Sunday morning to anoint His body. He wasn't there. And the angel said, why are you out here in the cemetery? Are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. So, but our Master did command the early church, and which they did. They obeyed His commandment. It says here in the book of Acts, talking about the early converts, people at Pentecost. Now listen, when Peter finished his message at Pentecost, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teachings and fellowship and breaking bread. They were baptized, preaching of the word, fellowshipping together. They broke bread. In Acts 20, it says this. Let me just read it to you. And you say, when did they meet generally? Well, verse 7 says in Acts 20, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, to observe the Lord's table, Paul preached to them. They met together to observe the Lord's table. And it's a very important time that we have before us tonight. Now turn to Luke 22. And let me give you some thoughts about the Lord's Supper in Luke 22. Verse 14, the first thing I note is this. Those present to observe the Lord's table were believers. Believers. It says in verse 14, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Believers. And that's what we're exhorted to do when we sit down at the Lord's table, is examine ourselves for one thing, whether we discern the Lord's body. Do we understand what we're doing? We're observing the Lord's table. The bread represents his broken body and the wine his shed blood. And we discern that he gave himself for us, believers. We can't remember what we don't know. Our Lord said, this do in remembrance of me. Well, we can't remember what we don't know, what we've never experienced. So this is an ordinance for believers. It's not to be served to unbelievers. We can't show what we haven't seen. And then I noticed this about these early believers. Read verse 14 again. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. No one was elevated above the others. No one was lifted up above. They all sat down with him. They're not even on their knees in front of him taking the table. They're sitting about the table with him. Isn't that what it says? They sat down with him, all believers, and they're all brethren. And they sat down with the Lord. Now, verse 15. This is the last Passover. You know what the Passover is. Israel was down in Egypt. God would lead them out of Egypt into the promised land. And it's a picture of our being saved from sin, translated into the kingdom of God. And God told Moses to take a lamb without spot or blemish, the firstling of the flock, 1 year old, put it up for 4 days, observe it without spot or blemish, and then kill the lamb, roast it with fire, take its blood, and put it on the lintel and the doorpost. Go in the house and stay there. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I come through the land of Egypt tonight to slay the firstborn in every home, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Passover. The Lord's Passover. This is the last one. The Jews have observed it now for 2,000 years, from Moses to Christ. Why stop? Listen to 1 Corinthians 5. This is why they stop. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul said, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. That lamb is a picture of our lamb, Christ Jesus. The firstborn of every creature. That lamb without spot or blemish, Christ is holy. That lamb put up and observed and tested and tried, Christ was tried. That lamb slain, its body roasted with fire, a picture of his, I thirst, he cried on the cross, burning under the judgment of our sins. His blood
not on the doorpost, but on the mercy seat of glory in our place. This is the last Passover, and that's what he's saying. Verse 15. He says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say, I will not anymore eat thereof. He had observed all the Passovers since he walked this earth. Four with them. No more. I will not anymore eat thereof till it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. That's the last Passover. For Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now verse 17. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread. This is unleavened bread. How do you know it's unleavened bread? This is the feast of the unleavened bread. Back in verse 7, that's the first thing we read when we came in here tonight. This is a day of unleavened bread. This is wine and unleavened bread that our Lord took. There was no leaven in a Jewish home during Passover. Leaven is evil. Picture of evil. Verse 19, he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, two simple elements. Wine and unleavened bread. The Lord and his disciples observed this table of the Lord at a common meal. No uniforms. No grand function. No complicated ceremony. Here the Lord is sitting about a table with his disciples. They just finished the Passover meal. There's bread on that table. Plain, simple, unleavened bread. Baked bread. And there's a jug of wine. And our Lord took this common unleavened bread and this common table wine and instituted the Lord's Supper. Now, here's the representation. The bread and the wine, he said, this is my body and this is my blood. The bread and the wine show our Lord's incarnation. I have a body and I have blood. That's what he's saying. God is spirit. As God, he has no body and blood. God is spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and truth. But as the God-man, he's got a body and he's got blood. See, that's his incarnation. He's saying here, this bread is my body and this wine is my blood. Now, the unleavened bread and the wine shows his holiness. This supper cannot accurately be observed with anything but unleavened bread and wine. Because if I have bread up here that's leavened, it can't represent the holiness of Christ. And grape juice or some other kind of juice which spoils because of the bacteria and because of the whatever's in it can't represent his blood. He had no sin. He's perfectly holy. And he does not. Even his body saw no corruption in the tomb. And that's the reason that I'm careful about the bread and the wine. Because that's what he used. He said, this bread is my body, this wine is my blood. And then thirdly, this bread and wine show his suffering. How did it show his suffering? Well, the bread was broken, his body bruised and mangled and he suffered as no man. His countenance was marred as no other man. But the main thing here that we see his suffering in the bread and the wine is it's separate. My body and blood is one. But my body's over here, my blood's over here, I'm dead. And when you've got the wine in a pitcher and the bread over here on the platter, it's separate. He shed his blood. He gave his blood. He suffered. Break the bread. The wine's poured out. Someone else talked about how the bread is made. It's made in fire, roasted. It's ground. He walked the wine press. The grape has given up its liquid and is crushed and bruised. And this wine represents our Lord's suffering. He walked the wine press alone, and his body was bruised and broken as bread goes through a mill. And then the bread and the wine is eaten, received in us. That's our union with Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. I stand and look at the bread and the wine. I stand and look at Christ. I may have a lot of information about him. And I may give consent to some of this information about him. But when I receive him into my heart by faith, that's what I'm saying. That's what he said in, if you'd like to turn to John 6. That's what he said over in John 6, verse 48. He said, I'm the bread of life. John 6:48. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. They're dead. But this is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then he said unto them, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. I'll raise him up at the last day. So, when believers come to this table and we receive the bread, we eat it. We receive the wine, we drink it. And that's, we're picturing we have received Christ by faith into our lives and hearts and innermost being. We're one with him. We're union with him. Now he's within me. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Verse 19, I want to look back at that a minute. Here's three of the most important statements in this whole thing. And he took bread and brake it, gave thanks and brake it, and he said unto them, this is my body. This is my body. And he said, down there, lady, this cup is my blood. Now, that's not literal. He was standing there holding the bread. He was in his body, wasn't he? His blood was still in his veins. So when he held the cup out and said, this is my blood, it wasn't. Not literally, it was his blood figuratively. See that? And there's been a lot of blood shed over this now back through the centuries, where when the Catholics and some others say that the priest blesses the bread and blesses the wine, and it literally actually becomes the body and blood of Christ. And when you eat the bread and drink the wine, you are literally eating the flesh and the blood of the Son of God and receiving salvation. That's the reason they call this a sacrament, a saving ordinance. That's the reason they call it a sacrament. It's not a sacrament. Don't ever use that term. It's not a sacrament. It's not a saving ordinance. It doesn't save anybody. When our Lord stood there in his body with his blood still in his veins, and he said, this bread, what he's saying is, it represents my body broken for you. And this wine represents my blood shed for you. What he's saying to them. And when he died on that cross and shed his blood and rose from the tomb, and we observe the Lord's table, we're doing exactly what those disciples did. We're taking bread which represents his body, and blood, wine which represents his blood. Second statement. This is my body which is given for you. For you. Verse 20. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for you, in your stead, for your redemption. for the forgiveness of your sins, to put away your guilt, to cleanse you and sanctify you and redeem you. It's for you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we're healed. It's for you. It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Two words, blood, for. This is my blood shed for you. My body broken for you. The third thing now, Luke 22, verse 19. This is my body. It's given for you. This do. Not something else. Why would we do something else? Why would we do it some other way? Why would we dress it up and make it gaudy and put a lot of ceremonies surround and change the elements and change the prayer and change the way it's done? This do. Simple supper. This do. It's not hard to do. There it is. Not hard to do, is it? The bread, the broken bread, and the wine. This do. In remembrance of me. It's not a fellowship supper for the church. It's not a saving ordinance to put away sin. It's not a means to discipline the church. I know people that won't observe the Lord's table because the church is not in perfect harmony or something like this. This is not a harmony meal. This do. For what purpose? In remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. This do. In remembrance of me. If we know him, love him, this do. In remembrance of him. Remember who he is. Our Lord, our Savior, our representative, our federal head, the God-man, Son of God, Son of Man. Remember who he is. Remember what he did. He suffered the just for the unjust to bring us to God. That's what I'm remembering. Remember why he did it. God has sent forth his Son, made of a woman, to redeem them that were born under the law. He set him forth as a propitiation that God may be just and justified. That's why he suffered, that God might save folks like us. Remember where he is. Brother Jim read it. He ministers not in tabernacle and places made with hands, but in heaven itself, there to appear in the presence of God for us, our mediator, our advocate, our intercessor. One hymn writer said, in memory of thy cross and shame, I take this supper in thy name. The wine of grapes, the flour of wheat, my outward man doth drink and eat. Oh, may my inward man be fed with better wine and better bread. I thank the Lord who died for me. Oh, may I live in God with thee. In conclusion, our Lord lovingly invited all of his disciples to take this bread and this wine. This was a critical time. There sat Peter, a very weak man, but a believer. Peter, the Lord prophesied in just a few hours, would deny the Lord, but he didn't send him away from the table. He said, all of you drink it, all believers. There sat Thomas. When the women came and told Thomas the Lord had risen, he said, I don't believe it. That's right. He said, unless I put my finger in the nail prints. I won't believe. That's strong language, isn't it? But he didn't send him away from the table. I'm glad the Lord's not like some of my brethren who send folks away from the Lord's table for various reasons. He said, all of you fellas, they were all believers, you drink it. And in just a little while, they would fail so miserably. And he knew it. I'm not serving the table to unbelievers anywhere. But I'm not sending believers away anywhere either. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Our Lord invites all who truly know him and love him to come to the table, even those who have forgotten him too often. And he knows our frailty. He said he remembers our frame. He knows we're dust. He knows how forgetful we are. That's a good reason to come together and remember him, isn't it? We're so prone to forget. We may come to the table, though others will not come. And do not come, and have not come, but we're not here to judge them. We're here to remember him. We're not here to judge other people. So-and-so shouldn't come. Well, that's his business. If you ever wait till you're worthy to sit down at this table, you better never sit down at this table. Because when you feel worthy, it's not... That's not the way. We're here because he's worthy, not because we're worthy. He was found worthy. And we may come, though weak and unworthy and scarcely able to do anything but remember him. Come to the table. And I'll tell you this in closing before we serve. This is a picture of that marriage supper in Revelation 19. Turn over there and let's read it. I come to this table because I expect to be at that table. In Revelation 19:1, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. He hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hands. That's false religion. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God. All ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and there's a voice of many waters, and there's a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed, this is us, in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said to me, Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Well, we're called to the marriage supper of the Lamb because we've been called to this table. Because his blood was shed for us and his body broken for us. God bless you as you receive the bread and the wine tonight.